We have sound. You know, I felt this morning to exercise the opportunity to pray for the sick. You know, the Bible talks about that very clearly, that, you know, in James 5, that we call for the elders of the church and anoint the sick, lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. It's a promise, and I really feel that we want to exercise that gift this morning. And I know we would probably do it at the end, but I sometimes feel the urgency of it in a way that I do it in the beginning. I sort of turn things upside down and do things a different way. So I'm not very good at following routine. I try my best, but the Lord helps me with that sometimes, so thank you. But I also feel to just speak to you prophetically this morning, some of you. And I wondered, is Cheryl here? Or she's with the children. Okay. She'll be back. Okay. Because I do want to, you know, encourage, you know, you, Phil, this morning, but I'd like to do it when Cheryl's with you. Is that all right? So we better make sure she doesn't sneak off and we miss the opportunity. Yeah, she'll be back. It's good. So I feel this morning to anyone that's struggling with any sickness, we'd like to pray for you and anoint you. And I'm going to ask the Reverend to work with me on this, and we're going to come into agreement and pray for you that you will be healed in the name of Jesus. So we have seen God move in the area of healing very powerfully, and I believe that if we have faith to believe, you know, that God will bring healing. Healing is, you know, part of His benefits. You know, Psalm 103 says, "Do not forget all the benefits that come from the Lord." And one of those is He renews our youth like the eagle. Now, I believe that, you know, God is raising up eagles again. We've been happy to be turkeys, but God's saying, no, 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 you are eagles. Amen. So I've come to talk to the eagles this morning. So we'd love to pray. Anybody needs prayer for any ailment or sickness, come and line up here, and the Pastor Phil and I are going to pray for you and anoint you with oil. Amen? And you shall be healed. Amen. So we please come and frequent the front, and it's a good place. Okay. Father, we thank you today for the healing ministry of Jesus that flows freely through your church and through your people. You promised us healing, Lord, so this morning in faith we receive the healing of Jesus for our lives. Amen. Father, I just anoint our brother here in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that healing virtue, Lord, that is going to carry an igniting spirit of the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So, Father, we thank you right now. We release that upon our brother, and we thank you for him, his obedience to you, Lord. And we know that he's going to lay hands upon many, and you will use him to bring forth revival fires, Lord. So we thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your daughter. We just speak to any ailment or any infirmity that has hindered her. We anoint her in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for the healing virtue of Jesus that has been released upon her. And we call every disorder to come into divine order today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the grace of God that is poured out in Christ Jesus for our healing. We receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Hallelujah. God is faithful and true to his word, folks. We just got to have to say, yes, Lord, we receive. Father, I thank you for your daughter. Lord, I just speak to this lingering disorder that has been upon her. We thank you now that we anoint her in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that healing will be a portion in Christ from this moment on in the name of Jesus. Lord, Let the old become new today in our life, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, thank you for Jim. We anoint him too in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that he's, Lord, you speak about our minds being the mind of Christ. I just speak that restoration upon you, brother, in the name of Jesus, that you will recall and you will know what you need to know in Christ Jesus, that your mind is healed, that you are healed in confidence in God, a new sense of the joy of the Lord to overtake you, brother, in all that he has for your life, in Jesus' name. A refreshing in God. Receive that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we pray for those ears. We thank you, Lord, that Jim's ears will be healed. We speak to deafness. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the healing virtue of our Lord. And we know that you're doing new things for Jim, Lord, setting ablaze those things in his heart. And so, Father, heal those ears in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, brother. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Good on you, man. You're rising up, brother. Father, we thank you for your son. We anoint him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the fervor of the Holy Spirit upon him. Lord, the desire to share the gospel and bring the good news. We just speak restoration into his confidence today in you, Lord, that he will arise, that he will not look back, but he will look up, knowing that you are for him. Who can be against him, Lord? A new season of breakthrough, of reaching out and touching hearts for you, Lord. And I thank you that you are giving him a new zeal for you, Lord. You're releasing it on him today. We speak healing to the body in Jesus' name, healing to doubt, healing to the mind to be restored in the fullness of God in Jesus' name. Receive your healing, brother. Amen. Amen. You're a good man, brother.
God would say to you, you are worthy.
Yes. That's good. Hallelujah. Good word, Pastor. Father, we thank you for your son. We anoint him now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you, Lord, that this is a new season for him, Lord. Season of breakthrough in his own ministry, his own life, Lord. We thank you, Father, that the burdens are light and the yoke is easy. And we lift that from him, every burden that has hindered him from rising up, O God. This is a season of breakthrough for your life, brother, in the name of Jesus, that you won't hold on to the old, but the new has come. You are a new creation in Christ, and God is doing a wonderful new work within you. And we bless you today, brother, that God will use your hands, the generosity of your spirit, to help others, to point them in the way of the Lord. It's a different time, a different season for you. Amen. So embrace it in God. Heal the things of old and bring them into the new perspective in God. Amen. So bless you, brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your sister. We anoint her now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we say thank you, Lord, for the healing power of God upon her. We call her body into divine order today, Lord. Every one of those ailments that have hindered you, and we speak to, we call them into order today. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the healing promises of God for your life and for your ministry of outreach to so many people, that God would use you to continue to bring the good news of hope and love and grace for the Lord. In Jesus' name, be raised up in power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, sister. Keep up the good work. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, we better get going with something here. I do have a sharing that I want to just bring to you. And I want to remind us this morning that we are actually in partnership. You know, sometimes we talk about business partnerships. We speak about other, we're in partnership with our spouses. I know that's a covenant partnership. But God wants us to partner with Him to build His kingdom. Very, very simple, but it's very profound in many ways. The kingdom of Christ reigns in perfect justice and in perfect love. The church is called to establish the interests of God's kingdom, in other words, God's heavenly kingdom, to be made real to us on the earth. And it's you know, something that God is doing with us right now. He's establishing the works of Jesus in the church and in the community in a wonderful way. The good news, you can look at it this way, or the bad news. The good news is that He's calling you to be one of the builders in that kingdom. Some see that as bad news, but I want to say to you, that's actually good news. It's good news that God is stirring us up again, where we've been quite happy to send someone else. Don't send me, Lord, send my sister. But God wants to send you, and He wants to use you to do the heavenly work that He preordained you to do before time began. You know, Scripture says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, He said, I knew who you were and who you were called to be. That means that God had a job for you to do, and He wants us to get on with it in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the kingdom comes when the King is made known. So when we make the King known around this community, His kingdom starts emerging. When we pray for our community about the work of Jesus, suddenly God unlocks the sometimes impenetrable places that seem to be locked up in the society today. God comes along and He unlocks those with His glorious presence, and the grace of God comes and is made known. And we say, how did it happen? How did this happen? You see, if we only see coronavirus at the moment, we are not seeing all that there is that should be seen. Everything visible and physical is controlled and caused by the invisible and spiritual world. Very interesting. If we understand that concept of spiritual warfare, that everything is controlled by that invisible spiritual world. So if we want to fix the spiritual and the physical problems we're experiencing in the world, we have to address the spiritual realm. That's why we come in prayer. I believe God is unveiling the power of prayer in the church today. It's just something very, very unique. Because He wants us to address the spiritual and invisible issues that are causing the issues today. And it's a wonderful way that God calls us to address the divine precursor. In other words, we address things that are coming so that the manifest presence of God will be made known to man. Lord, come with Your presence and with Your glory. It sounds like a prayer that will never be answered. But let me say to you, God's presence and purpose is starting to manifest around the world today. Amen. You know, it's all, you know, if you look at the world system, it's about world control, domination, economic disruption, you know, mandates, financial mismanagement, all those things are taking place. But the principle of how God works with us is He wants us to address those issues in every community and every area of our responsibility where our dominion takes place. We are supposed to address those issues spiritually so that we can see the manifestation of God on the earth. And God's talking to us about that in a very powerful way. You know, when I ministered last year in Wellington, I had a vision And I contacted the brothers that I work with in city by city, and I said, God has called us to address the city where the governmental powers have control over this nation, and that city was Wellington. So we went down to Wellington and we gathered and we addressed those issues in the spiritual realm. It was such an incredible, powerful time that happened, and I knew that we moved some of the spiritual principalities and strongholds that were over the city. And I say, Lord, thank you that you are doing that. So don't underestimate when the pastor calls for us to come together and pray, how significant that is for every community. And look, I don't want to put a heavy on you, but I want to remind you today that most churches, when we call out for prayer, 20% of the 80% turn up. So 20% are paying for the 80%. But I see a change coming, the good news, that 80% are turning up to pray for the 20%, because God is doing something in the midst of us. Young and old are pitching up at the prayer meetings, and they are doing warfare. See, it's part of the ministry that Jesus called us all to be part of. My house will be a house of prayer. Let's go to the house of the Lord. But when you get to the house of the Lord, prayer should be one of the first things on our lips. We are addressing those areas. So in saying all that, I want to encourage us that we develop a spiritual discernment. In other words, we discern what's going on in our community. We make a strategic note of what we see, and then we start praying the victory of what we see. Because our prayers are, you know, to bring freedom, to bring healing, to bring restoration, and to bring victory in each one of our lives. So everyone that comes to church on a Sunday, they should be walking in victory. If there's an area we're not victorious in, Pastor, I need some prayer. I want to break through in this area. And boom, you know, we start noticing the changes that come, because Christ has called the church, the bride of Christ, to walk in, you know, the freedom that he has obtained for us. So let's keep that in mind, that we're embarking on a journey where God is lifting the profile of his people so that they can be effective ambassadors for the King of the Kingdom. Amen. That's you and I. We have been called to that place. So the reason I used 2 Chronicles 7, 1 to 3 this morning as a victorious scripture, it says, when Solomon had finished, fire came down from heaven. He'd made sacrifices to the Lord, burnt sacrifices in the temple of the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord through these sacrifices. And it says this, that fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And I want you to see something. God wants fill this temple, your temple, my temple, with the glory of God. And it says, and the priests could not minister in the house of the Lord, because the glory of God had filled the house of the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of God on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Come on. That's our war cry. For God is good and his mercy endures forever in your life and in my life. Amen. And if we recognize that, when every time we come into his presence, we glorify him. And you know what happens? A shout of breakthrough comes, and the people of the Lord reflect on the majesty and the presence of God. Amen. And that's how we should be living, in that realm of worship and of praise before the Lord. And we know that God is good, and his mercy for my family, for my friends, for the churches that we, you know, minister into, that he is always good. So our attitude towards God will drive every intention in our lives. If we love God and we see his majesty, my attitude towards God is, God, you are good. You know, we have that simple saying, you know, often, you know, God is good, and we, you know, all recite that and we agree with that. But I want to say to you, God is good. When I wake up every morning, I can rejoice. I woke up 6 foot up and not 6 foot down. I've still got some work to do for the Lord. I can rejoice in that. And I just think, you know, Lord, you preserve me. Because before I was saved, I went through some, you know, difficult times. I used to be part of a group that was trained in the Navy. And we used to do things and go to places. And I knew that twice the Lord preserved my life. And he kept me from that danger. And I knew that the second time it happened, I said to myself, Len, God's got a plan here. He's showing you something, that he's preserved your life for a reason. I thought to myself, well, I better find out the reason. And it didn't take long for God to reveal his reason. Come and serve me, my son. So, you know, God has a wonderful way of working in our lives. Don't look at the problems, look at the solutions. Amen. I want to share with you Paul's prayer that he prayed for the church. And, you know, if you look at the book of Ephesians, it's about really how to take a city for God. You know, when Paul came into Ephesus, and it says he was provoked by the statues and the things that he saw in the city. But it's really a strategic book on how we can go in and take the city for God. But Paul, you know, sort of opens the epistle to the Ephesians, and I love what he says in Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. He speaks about the exceeding greatness of God that's available for you and I. He says, and the NIV version actually summarizes it in a very powerful way. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? What a powerful scripture. What is the exceeding greatness of his power, God, in Christ, towards you who believe according to the working of the dynamic power of God? Amen. And then on verse 20 says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. And you know, scripture goes on and says, we are seated with him in heavenly places. So, you know, we come from a position of authority when we're addressing spiritual matters out there. One of the things that slows us down is we don't always immediately see the impact of our prayers in the community. We sometimes only hear of them a week or two or a month or two later, that, you know, this family's got saved. This person suddenly came along and gave their life to Jesus. And God is working in the invisible realm, the greatness of his power for you and I who believe, according to the active working of his mighty strength in us. So we've got to see ourselves, the church, as a different, you know, a different people. You look like the rest of the community, but in fact you are not the same. You are spiritual men and women that have a call from Almighty God to do his work on the earth. If you see that, you have a different perspective of your life. You know that God has done some incredible work in you. You see, the word says, you never called him, but he called you. I first called you, the word says. So this is God's idea, not your idea. We sometimes think we want to take credit for what God's done. No, no, no. This is God working in you to will and to do according to his purpose. And if you know that, your life has a purpose. And that's a beautiful thing about what we do. So God has given the church offensive and defensive weapons to come against the enemy. And when Paul says, you know, we'll have spiritual warfare, he uses that term. Actually, the word warfare is a Greek word called stratos. It means strategy. He's saying the enemy has a strategy. If I can sow, you know, drugs and discord and disharmony in the community, I'll start winning families that serve me. But we come along and we have the strategy of the Holy Spirit, and this strategic outworking of the Holy Spirit in us is pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. He gives that invitation, praise and worship. Use the sword of the Spirit. Take the gospel out to the community. Have the mind of Christ. Pull down every stronghold. Bind and loose the effect of the enemy. The blood of Jesus is the power of the spoken word upon your lips. The testimony of God on your life. All those are, you know, offensive weapons that pull down the strongholds in our community. And then your defensive weapon is when you wake up in the morning, you put on the armor of God. Very simple. When I go to bed at night, I don't take it off, but in the morning I put it on because I know I'm going for warfare. I put on the helmet, I put on the breastplate, I put on the belt of truth, I shod my feet in the preparation of the gospel, I put the sword of the Spirit in my hand because I know every day is a day of warfare. You see, I believe God is changing our perspective of understanding that we are in a war, a spiritual war, and it's now crescending into something much greater. The evidence of it is all around us, but God wants us to address it and pull it down. Amen. If we see that, we can immediately have some work to do. You know, the armor of God is worn, and it speaks about Ephesians 6, verse 18. And I want to remind us today that prayer, it said, Paul says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. So you and I are called to pray for all the saints in your spiritual language. Get into that place. You pray in the Spirit and you take charge of what God has called you to do. So you and I are involved in the warfare that's going on. Amen. That's why every church is unique in the spiritual strategy that God has given the church. Every form of warfare that you and I are going to be involved in will be unique to our region, unique to the people, unique to the way it's. And I believe that uniqueness is God's, you know, ordination. He's ordinated that so that we don't copy one another. We are led by the Spirit in what we do to help one another. So remember, one prayer from you can change somebody's life out there that will bring them to the knowledge of God. Amen. So everything that every problem we have is spiritually rooted. The Holy Spirit wants to unmask lives to help them to live in victory and to live in freedom. So when I see families and I see them struggling, I say, Lord, I know that you have a plan for them to be free, to be healed, so that they can live a life in Christ Jesus. What is it, Lord? So I go to the Lord with that and I speak to it. Interesting, just before I came last week, a lady, one of the elders in the church in Beachlands came to me and said, Len, we'd like you to help pray for a lady that's been going through a very difficult season and time in her life. So they sent me an email from her, and she said in her email, I was a husband stealer. I used to beat up people. I used to do, she lists about 10 things that she used to do. She said, but God came into my life and changed everything. But God. And she said to me, when I met her, she said, I know that there's a God in heaven because suddenly I can see things from a God perspective. And I was able to minister into her, because she was struggling with anger from, you know, some of the abuse that had come upon her life. And I said, I break off this anger and abuse that has come over your life that has affected you and your children. Be free in the name of Jesus. And that, you know, disappointment, that woundedness just left her, and she was a different lady. So I said, Lord, thank you. I'm now doing warfare against the evil forces of darkness that are bringing influence and control over the minds and the characters of your people. Amen. That's what we are called to do. So we see something different. We bring a remedy to the visible and physical problems on the earth through Christ Jesus. That's our part of our ministry that God has called us to do. So pray for the Lord to give you a sense of, you know, involvement. How can I help society to be a better place. Whatever it is that God reveals to you, we've got to understand that heaven rules earth. Whatever happens in the spiritual realm determines what goes on down here. So we make contact with our Heavenly Father as a visible representative of God. So what I'm saying is you are God's visible representative on the face of the earth. And you represent what His kingdom stands for. So you're going to go about doing good. So my scripture for the beginning of this year from the Lord, every, you know, sort of December, I seek the Lord for a scripture. Lord, what are you saying to me that I need to focus on for a year ahead? And it's interesting that the Lord gave me, a scripture in Acts 10:38. For God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And I tell you what, I've seen that this year. I said, Lord, let me do good. Let me help set the captives free in the name of Jesus. And I'm enjoying that. I'm saying, Lord, thank you for every person that you bring freedom and liberty to their lives. I rejoice in it. So I want to say to you, find that place in God. Amen. It's available to you. So we pray for wisdom. Lord, give us the right connections, the right ministry. So when Phil emailed me and said, Len, do you want to come down here to Manaya and talk to us? I immediately felt the Holy Spirit say, yes, Len, go. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to, you know, it was a yes from the Lord immediately. And I can, you know, really in a way, you know, thank God for just connections in the Spirit and what God is doing. Because, you know, I just really see something taking place in the spiritual realm, which you know, amazes me. So I want to just talk to you, Phil, and to Cheryl while it's on my heart. You know, it's interesting that when I was praying for you, I got the sense of, you know, 80 in the Hebrew means pay, P-E-Y, and it actually represents prayer. I was quite amazed when I looked at that. I thought, wow, it means that, you know, if you look at the 80th verse in the Bible, it speaks about incense and about sacrifice that comes before the Lord and it goes and fills the bowls with prayer and the incense gets poured out. And I really want to encourage you because I believe that God's called you to a spiritual authority as a father in the faith to minister to the community in power and authority. It's upon you. I see that strength that God has given you in authority that is over your life. And I want to say to you, exercise the unity of the church in what you call to do. When you give a heralding cry to say, come together, they're going to hear you. So God's called you to bring, to network your ministers together in a way that's going to bring victory and freedom. That is like a, you know, that tidal wave that starts, the tsunami that comes. You're caught up in it, and it's just starting to move and flow. And there's a fathering that God has given you to father the next generation. And I want to say to you, Phil, that you're going to have people lined up to do what you do. And God will use you to equip them, but to father them. So my encouragement is raise up that next generation in God because it's in you and it's about you. They will receive the integrity of heart that you carry for God and your sense of righteousness for community. God has put a righteousness upon you. You know, in Micah 6 verse 8 it says, what does the Lord require of you, O mortal man? You know, justice, mercy, and humility. You carry those, brother, well. And God is going to just increase that influence in your life, into the community and into leadership through business and through farming and through those areas that are going to have an impact upon your community. So keep it up. Bless you and Cheryl in your, you know, role of fathers and mothers in the community. Many young women will come and receive from you and know that this is a time to impart things into their lives that will help them with family. So you carry a family anointing here, brother. I speak to those families that are coming, that they will increase and be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bless you. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I just want to say a little bit more this morning. I won't keep you too long, but I want to just remind you that we are in a battle, and that if we understand our spiritual warfare weapons, we are mighty in God ourselves. For Scripture in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, "For your weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down strongholds." So we will see strongholds in people. We will see them in towns and cities. And God's called us to know that we have weapons to address that through the Word of God, through our prayers, and through our fasting and praying. Amen. God wants us to see victory in people's lives and in our own lives. But I want to just talk to something that we all have in this service this morning, and that is that you have potential in God, and the enemy comes after the potential in your life. In other words, the source of our potential is the Spirit of God, and he wants us to harmonize with him in the truth. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, wants us to be good stewards of the manifold grace that God has put upon you. And so you designed to function in faith and love, and the thing that comes along that short circuits that faith and love is unforgiveness and fear in our lives. Today, fear has been too resident in our churches. God doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. So that hidden potential that is in you is like a seed that needs to be cultivated in your life. It's hidden there. So that's why the church lives in an environment of encouragement. That's why when we prophesy, we speak edification. Okodomo means to build up. God wants us to build one another up in the purposes of God, and we speak to those things in you that bring out the potential of God in your life. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to guard that potential in my life, the hidden treasure that has come from you. Scripture tells us in Matthew 13, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it goes to sell all that he has to buy the field. You see, God provides a field for our lives. The treasure that's buried in you and I needs to be joyfully recovered. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who's placed treasures in this earthen vessel. My God, you've helped me you have redeemed me so that my earthly treasure that comes from you can be a blessing to those around me. Amen. So God is doing that good work. The treasure that is in the earthen vessel is the excellence of the power that may be of God. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That is the excellence of the power of God, but not of us, but of God. So because we are born of faith, we rise up today, new creatures in Christ, and we claim our godly inheritance in the Lord. Amen. We say, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. And I want to finish off with say this to you. Find your purpose in God. God created you with a purpose. Purpose is that you possess, the potential that you have is to fulfill the purpose that God has called you to. Potential is equal to your assignment. So if I go on my assignment, I know God's given me the potential to fulfill my assignment. Purpose requires responsibility. Responsibility makes a demand on my potential. As soon as I take on, Pastor, give me the worship, what happens is I take on a responsibility, but then the responsibility draws on the gifting in God on my life, and suddenly my potential is recognized, and people say, wow, where did you have that gift? That gift's been hidden in your life for so many years. It's so amazing to see it. But it's because you made a decision and said, God, I'm not quite sure how to step out in this, but I'm going to trust you and take this responsibility. And all of a sudden, your purpose is found. And you rise up and you say, wow, this is amazing what God has done. Well, it is God, but you know, you've got to take some responsibility for it as well. So the church should be thriving because we maximize the potential that is sitting in our churches. Amen. There's never a day that I can say to you that I go back to the Lord. My prayer is with God, nothing will be impossible to do. But God, I need you with me, because I want to accomplish the things that you have done in my life. So I surrender myself to you, and I know that you will help me. And a scripture to close with this is Ephesians 2:10. It says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Amen. God's already prepared them. He's saying, so my prayer is this for us this morning. Lord, lead me in your paths, which you have prepared for my life ahead of time, that I may fulfill my God-given potential and my God-given purpose for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So in simple terms, you know, the Lord wants you to come into a place of agreement with him. I believe one of the most simplest ways of walking with God is to come into, you recognize something that God is speaking to you about. You say, God, I trust you that you're going to lead me in this. Now help me to find the right connections and people, and now lead me into your purpose. So you take it to prayer, you take it to the Lord, and then you start focusing and listening to the Lord through the word, through your prayer time, and God unveils that for your life. And you find yourself doing things, you say, wow, how did this happen? But it happened when you made the prayer request to God, and God is faithful and true to hear us. Amen. So that's my challenge to you all this morning. Make a request to God that will surprise you, and you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you very much. We bless you all this morning. And thank you that I could come to this part of the world and just share with you and bless you. And I pray for a rising up of God in this place, something that will, you know, be supernatural above our normal thinking, that God is at work and he never stops working. Amen. My Father's at work, and Jesus said, I'm at work also. And I love that communication of the Father and the Son at work in our communities. But God wants to give us eyes to see what he's doing, not what the enemy's doing. We understand the enemy's work, and we pray against that. But look at what God is doing. And it just gives you a different perspective of life. And you're actually glad to be alive. You're glad that you can be part of the solution to society today, because they need believers, and they need believers that believe in God, not unbelieving believers, no, but believe those who believe in the Lord Jesus will rise up in their potential and know the purpose to which they've been raised up on the earth today. Amen. Thank you very much, Phil, for the opportunity to be with you. Amen.